Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Felger and Maz are live at O'Rourke's Public House in South Bend.
Presented by Coors Light, official beer sponsor of the Winter Classic. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To the far point, here's Nordstrom hanging high. Rink wide, Grizzlick walks in, shoots toward the save, rebound, they score! A Selly for the second time in as many games. Sean Corrali jumping up and down, crashes into the far corner boards. He had the backhand in the slot on the rebound opportunity and swings it home. Bruins 3, Blackhawks 2.
All right, there's your game winner. Bruins win the Winter Classic today at Notre Dame Stadium. You could hear the crowd in the background, the caller, I don't know if he was a blind individual or not, the guy that called from Wyoming, so he listened to the game on the radio.
Yeah. I mean, there was a good pop from the Bruins crowd today. There was.
We should have told him that it was actually on NBC, like if he has even if he just has the rabbit ears, he could have gotten it.
Sure.
So I don't know, maybe you listen to it on the radio, but you could, that's what it sounds like in a football stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I told you, the atmosphere, I think that's a special place. I mean, I'm corny on this.
No,
place.
It's tremendous.
You know, it's a unique venue. You're talking about, this is the cathedral of college football. I hate that word, but, you know, it's a unique place. So to play the game there, and it was a good game, all of it, it's a fun environment to be in.
I think it's a good take. It's a good product. I think the league ruins it a little bit with all these stadium games, you know. So now they have, and I think they've saturated a little bit. But just the one-off Winter Classic, New Year's Day, it's really well produced. It's a good TV product. It's a great take in the stadium. I like the one at Gillette. I even like the one at Gillette. I mean, put it to you like that. And that was a horse crap hockey game. And it's really not a great stadium, all due respect, you know, to the Craps. But that's a lousy place to watch any game. I'm sorry. It just is. And I love that day. You know, so I'm a sucker for this day. I thought it delivered as usual. So we got you covered on that. Some of the big picture Bruins stuff as well. You want to weigh in on some of those other items? By all means, 617-779-0985. Bring it back with Raffy in Vermont. Raffy, you're up next with Felger and Maz. Go ahead. B-Rob, can you pump him up? Because I dropped.
Hello?
Hello, Raffy. You're on the air. Thanks.
Yeah, I was watching the game. And Cam Neely, he said to Tuca, he wants him to step up. But it's time for him to tell the defense to step up. And I got something for Cool. Rule 49.2. You can kick the puck to clear it out if you're with your foot. If for some reason your skate, everything passed, the puck is standing right next to you. Yes, you can use your foot and kick it. 49.2. That's all I want to remind that kid.
Okay. Do you have an idea what he was talking about?
No. Someone must have pissed him off by not kicking the puck when he lost his stick or something.
Who didn't kick the puck?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, I loved it.
Marchand lost his stick and threw it out of the zone at the end of the second period.
Right.
Was it, did Nordstrom lose a stick at one point? I don't know what he was talking about. The Tuca stuff is, again, interesting.
Yes, look, again, I just think it's an interesting way for Neely to put it. Like, totally, like, Tuca needs to decide as if it's a conscious decision. So to me, that tells me that they look at Tuca and they say, well, look, are you fully committed? Are you invested? You know, because we think you're not all there. That to me is what that comment suggests. Get your game in order. Go on a run and take the job. We want you to take the job. The only reason Halak is playing more is because you're not playing well. That's it.
And we talked about this in the pregame, but to me, one of the whopper comments from the last couple of weeks where we were off, you know, admittedly, we've quite a gap here between Felger and Maz programs, but this happened during our break, where it was a Carolina game. It was the last game before the Christmas, you know, little layoff there, and they lose to the effing Whalers. Okay, it was when the Carolina was wearing those stupid whale jerseys, and Rask had a horrible day handling the puck. Gave the Whale a third period goal, just handing it to him from behind the net, and Cassidy ripped him. And I still haven't heard the sound. Maybe just said it to the writers. The sound doesn't really exist. But Cassidy said it's not his strength per se, meaning handling the puck. It's not his strength per se, and it's not something I don't think he puts a lot of time into correct sometimes. It is what it is. You reap what you sow, right? I mean, that is... He's saying he sucks in handling the puck. He doesn't even work at it. So what do you expect?
Right, exactly. He brings it on himself.
Holy moly.
I mean, if you don't, it's basically saying if you don't work at it, you're going to screw it up in the game. What do you expect?
He says it's part of the job requirement, and you have to be sharper than he was today. It's that simple. So, I mean, you know, God bless Cassidy. He's not afraid to call him out.
Boy, he hits it straight on, doesn't he?
Sure does.
He really does. I mean, you talk about a guy that tells it like it is. It's so refreshing to hear a coach talk like that about his players and about his team and not alienate them in the process.
Right.
Which tells me that he's delivering...
No, he's firm but fair the way that he talks about
it. But it also tells me he's delivering the same message right to the guy's face.
Yeah.
Like, why would I have a problem telling everybody else when I just told you to your face? What's the issue? Like, you're insulted by that? I just told you to your face. You played like a jackass. So now I went out there and I told them, like, where's the controversy? Like, and they seem to... He seems to... You know, to me, that indicates there's a bond there. There's a strength to the relationship. That he tells them straight.
Or maybe with Rask, they're sort of past the point of...
Well, it could be that.
You know,
it's a fair point.
If he gets pissed off, he gets pissed off. What are you going to do? He's the third highest, fourth highest paid goalie in the league, and half the time he plays like an a-hole.
Well, and especially when the president of the team comes on before the game today in Cam Neely and says, Tuukka has to decide whether he wants to take the ball and run with it. Like, I can't get over that line. Has to decide. He's basically saying he has to decide if he wants the job.
Right.
That's really what he's saying there. And I do couple that with something Bob Beer said, because when we were talking about the game, you know, you said it's the Winter Classic, kind of a big spot.
It is.
And Bob Beers jumped in and said, it's a big game for Rask. So Beers is around the team all the time. Obviously, he's known some of these guys for decades. Like, I think that they're getting, you know, tired of waiting for Tuukka.
Okay. And he was great today. First star. He's my first star. Who's your first star today, Murray?
Tuukka Rask, without question.
Maz,
excellent.
Tuukka. Maz, you said you didn't.
The second goal bugged me, and you don't want to know why the second goal bugged me.
Yes, I do want to know why.
Because they were getting their asses kicked in the second period, and he was playing great.
He was
playing great, and it's never 100% with him.
But it's just never
100%. So, like, it's, you know, he's keeping them there 1-1, and I thought, wow, if the goalie can really bail him out here, they get through the period, then all of a sudden you go into the third, you reset, you're good. And he gave up the goal. He seemed pissed that he gave it up, and that's why I'm frustrated, because it's never 100% with him. There's always one little one that leaves you going, why couldn't have just been perfect.
Know, fine, I know.
Couldn't have been perfect.
But I don't blame him on that one. The redirects, you can't blame him. He just sort of, but the after the thing, you know, like, yeah, hopefully that's the last one. The next one, I want to be in the press box drinking a beer. Why? What's the...
And maybe we're taken out of context because it was on the TV and we didn't see it. I only saw it on Twitter. So, yeah, I'm going to put it in the Felger and Mass processor, and I find it a little bit odd.
So the next one, I want to be on my couch drinking a beer.
Yeah. That's what... Hand down my pants, Al Bundy style. That's how I want to watch the next one.
I mean, really? What's the big deal? It's 60 minutes of your life.
Yeah.
And they pay you $7 million a year.
Oh, but he doesn't like playing outside, Mike. Aw. There's wind blowing. It gets cold.
That'll be the highest rated game of the year for the Bruins until they face Montreal in the playoffs, if they do, or get to the NHL finals. Honestly, that game's going to be the most watched game for the Bruins this year by far until they get to some of the postseason games.
And he was good. I mean, Rask was. He was good.
But he doesn't want that. Like,
heaven forbid you get a spotlight.
Oh, my God. This guy. Continue with your thoughts. 617-779-0985. Right to you after this.
Your Bruins Winter Classic headquarters. O'Rourke's Public House in South Bend. It's Felger and Mass. Presented by Coors Light. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Out at center ice, the Blackhawks have it. The horn is going to sound. The Boston Bruins win the 2019 NHL Winter Classic. Start 2019 with a 4-2 victory over the Blackhawks. The stars shine for the Bruins here today. Rask, Bergeron, Pastrnak, and the game winner goes to Sean Corrali in the final stanza.
Judd Surratt here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. The stars come out. I mean, that's the Corrali line, and them getting something going down there is important.
Huge.
No question. I mean, they need secondary scoring. They need more contributions because they feel really top-heavy. So, important development.
That fourth line, that third and fourth line last year were good for him.
Oh, I think the Riley Nash line was why you almost won the President's Trophy, frankly. But either way, okay, so, but this, you know, Judd says the Stars came out. The star who did not come out today, I just want to hit on this because we spent some time on it in the pregame. And that's Charlie McAvoy. This guy's starting to bug me slash worry me, okay? The worry me is he can't stay on the ice. And I'll just start by saying I think he's the single most important player on the team. I think he's the single most important thing about this team. In other words,
he's the future of the franchise.
I said this year, it's all to me, it's about him. It's about him developing and, you know, having a kind of season where you look at it, you go, he's going to start getting Norris votes coming up. You know, maybe not this year, and maybe, you know, he's still another year or two away, but you see the, you just see that jump from him where he's ready to establish himself and be that guy. Because I think that's the single most important guy on the team. It's not even close. I think that position is so important, that puck-moving defenseman. I think the game, I said this earlier, I'll stand by it. If you give me the choice between a top-paid, high-end goalie or that puck-moving number one Brent Burns, Drew Doughty, Erik Karlsson, that kind of defenseman, I think I'd take the defenseman. I think I would.
I mean, I'm not sure I wouldn't.
I might
like,
take
the, you know, hard. It's hard to pick.
There's more consistency
that.
There with a defensive player like that. Goalies still run hot and cold no matter how good they
exactly,
are.
Exactly, Murray. And I think there are more good goalies than there are elite number one game-changing defensemen.
And those guys allow you to dictate the pace and tempo of the game.
And those guys are also higher paid, so maybe the league agrees with me. All right, so that's just setting up how important I think Charlie McAvoy is to the team. I mean, he's next in line. Ray Bourque, Zdeno Chara, Charlie McAvoy. Like, that's what it's got to be. And the kid can't stay on the ice.
Has he, you know, now that I think of it, has he played a half season yet without interruption? A half a season, not a whole season. So like, it feels like he can't make it through half the schedule without some issue. You know, again, last year was the heart thing, then he had the knee thing in the second half. This year it's been the concussion, and now this thing with the foot. The year before, he jumped in the postseason, so he only played 15 games or 10 games or whatever the hell it was. Like, he can't stay on the ice for any stretch of time. Like, it's not just some broad generalization of, you know, over a five-year period, two or three injuries. It's like every half season, there's something that knocks him out for a good 10, 20 games.
Okay, so that's worrisome. Is he injury prone? Is he, you know, someone who is susceptible or sensitive to concussions? Is he had that heart thing last year, you know, you mentioned? So, like, those sort of things are worrying me. The bugging me part is that I wonder how much of it is self-inflicted. Because you hear that he has also had problems with being late to meetings or team buses or flights or things of this nature. Marchand even called him out. And, B-Rob, if you could do me a favor, would you pull up the Neely cut on McAvoy from earlier today and just let me know in my ear when you grab it, when you have it? So, I say, oh, okay, so he's not a great professional. He's late to things. And he's learning that end of it. Is he putting in the work off the ice? What, his face is fat, you know? I've never seen him with his shirt off, but is he in shape?
I mean, he does. He's got the John Lester cheeks.
Yeah.
So,
like you would say, he looks like he's harvesting nuts.
And then I think, is this part and parcel with the injury thing? Because the team, I think, has looked at him a little sideways on some of the concussion stuff they put on him. They said, when he's ready to go, he's ready to go. He missed 20 games with a concussion, and no one knows what hit he took to concuss himself. He doesn't even know. Now, this foot thing that he missed for today, and he's missed the last couple, he took a shot off the skate. He played the next day, is walking around fine, but apparently has a cut or an infection and now can't put a skate on.
Put Neosporin on it.
So it's sort of like this is adding up, and it's like...
It just always feels like it's something with him.
So I'm getting nervous about Charlie McAvoy, and I think that's a huge story, because I think he's the guy on this team.
Look, if a guy misses time, and the team says he'll come back when he'll play when he's ready to play, and stuff happens over and over again, and he's late, how do you not connect all that? To me, it's totally logical to connect all that. Like, maybe part of the reason he gets hurt is that he's not quite doing enough.
So, I wonder. I worry. It's starting to bug me. Cam Neely, we asked him about it earlier and the stuff with Charlie McAvoy, and he doesn't quite deny that McAvoy's had some tardy problems. Go ahead, B-Rob. McAvoy. Where do you stand on McAvoy?
Well, it's been a tough season for Charlie. I mean, actually, since he's been in the league... You know, it's been unfortunate. He's had the injuries that he's had. You know, we certainly, when he's in the lineup, he certainly improves our puck-moving skills and our team on the back end. So, We'd love to see him get healthy and stay healthy and stay in the lineup.
Is there any frustration there on your part with him in terms of, is he doing everything he needs to do?
I believe so. I mean, I certainly haven't heard otherwise. I mean, I would be disappointed if he's not.
Well, a little thing came up recently where, you know, it's come out he's not exactly a timely professional. He misses buses. I mean, Marchand even said it in an interview. Has there been an issue with McAvoy off the ice with that, you know, just that little thing?
Well, I think one of those things where you got a young player that stepped right into the pros, so to speak, from junior hockey, or pardon me, college hockey, has a lot to learn. And we've got a good veteran group that I think are pulling these guys along and making sure they understand what it takes to be a pro. You know, Charlie has some things to learn, you know, he's willing to learn. He's a good kid. He wants to be a really good player in this league, and he's starting to figure out what it takes to be that player.
Okay. So I think, you know, you don't have to put them through the process so much. I mean, he has a lot to learn. He's trying to learn, and he's starting to learn what it takes to be a professional. So, I mean, Cam's sort of telling you there's something there.
Well, I don't think to say he didn't even come close to denying it. In fact, I would go so far as to say he basically confirmed it without saying, yep, that's absolutely true. There's no question he did. And so, like, you know, the other thing is, as he says it at the end, Charlie's starting to learn some of the things it's going to take to be successful. I wonder if, you know, some of that concerns off the ice, commitment, training, condition, all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. Like, maybe some light has gone on that. Charlie, you want to play every day. You got to be, you know, you want to be a star. You got to play 70 games.
I just think, too, what do you have to learn to be on time? Like, why do you, like, that is, I'm not talking to a 6-year-old kid. You're 19 years old. You're a grown ass man, or however old you are. I don't even know how old he is. Whatever, 20, 19, 8, however. I don't care if you're, by the time you get out of college, show up on time. You're not in college anymore, sleepyhead.
No, that's a basic thing.
Like, come on.
I mean, hell, that's like, you know, in school when you're 13, they tell you to be in class on time. You gotta learn that as a pro?
Shouldn't have to learn that. So, you know, the practical thing there with McAvoy is now what do you pay him? I think this is getting complicated. You know, that's someone that was really in line for a big payday. One of these second, you know, the second contract. And now, I don't know. You can't give him that kind of contract if he can't stay on the ice.
No, and it could be a problem because if he views himself as a high-end talent and wants it, then what?
He's cost himself a bunch of money. I think he's cost himself a bunch of money. Joe is in Cambridge. He joins us next here from South Bend, Indiana. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I wanted to talk with you guys about the Bruins and Krug specifically. You know, you're talking about Torrey Krug today and needing to trade either Grizzlick or Krug for the playoffs. And, you know, I just look at Krug, and he's a guy who's scoring, you know, I think he's fourth on the team in points right now. He's got two times as many points as Grizzlick has. I know he's obviously, you know, a bigger salary hit than Grizzlick is, but he seems to be the guy that really makes the offense go and, you know, drives the power play. And so I'm just curious, you know, why wouldn't you think about dealing someone other than Krug? It just seems like, you know, I know he makes some mistakes, but he's
a plus 22
for his whole career, you know? So I'm curious about it, really.
So here's why. I think that if you give Grzelcyk all of Krug's power play minutes and put him in that spot, Grzelcyk would produce at 85% of what Krug does. If Krug gets, you know, I don't know, call it 50 points a year, if you put Grzelcyk in that spot, he'd be 40-plus. So he's not as good as offensively as Krug, but he's in the ballpark. And if he got the same opportunities that Krug did, I think he'd get those points. That's one. He is one-fifth the cost of Torrey Krug. It was $5 or $6 million.
It was 2 years, 2.8, wasn't it?
For Grzelcyk?
I think so.
So one something a year, and Krug is five something a year. So that's a big one.
That's huge.
If you get 85, and again, this is my projection, but, you know, I think you can get 85% of the production for one-fifth of the cost. And furthermore, I can get something for Krug.
You can get something for Krug.
I think teams would look at him and go, ooh, half a point a game guy. That means he's an elite offensive defenseman. There's a premium on those guys in the league, and I think you get a good return for Torrey Krug. So that's why he's the guy for me.
I mean, to me,
By the way, today he sucked. I'm not trading just because of today, but today I thought he was garbage.
I just don't think you can have two guys like that on your D-core come the playoff time because you get the crap kicked out of you. And it's just not going to work. So in the long term, that you know, one of them's got to go, and I think Krug gets you more and helps you more by moving him over Grizzly. The other thing is, they talk about the power play. Everything the caller said is true about what he does on the power play and you know, making the offense run and all that's true. Doesn't this also relate to McAvoy in some capacity?
Yes.
If McAvoy's on the ice and he's healthy, he should be on the power play.
Right.
So you can afford to let Krug go. Like, to me, there's an easy, you know, Krug to me feels like an easy guy to move. I'm not saying he sucks. I think defensively he's a liability. But to me, he should be an easy guy to move.
617-779-0985. Paul in Leominster, what do you got for us?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
What I'm talking about is Charlie McAvoy, who I've watched for a little bit, and he's an awesome player. But I think you guys need to check out his college career, see if he's been injured, and if he has this, you know, habit of being injured. That's what's worrying me.
Okay, good question. I don't know. I don't remember. He only played 1 year at BU.
Is that right? He only played as a freshman?
I think it was 1 year.
Wow.
I think it was 1 year he played in that junior tournament. It was balls.
Do you remember hearing anything about that when he came out? I don't.
Injury situation? No.
But also, if it's 1 year, it might not be enough to, you know, to create a flag.
You know, I mean, frankly, I just care what he does here. You know, and it's starting to worry me, man. He's starting to worry me. He should be the guy. He's the guy. He is the guy.
So he came in the spring of 17.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, that was the postseason only. Had never even played a regular season game, so very small sample and looked dynamite. But then again, go to last year. Didn't make it through the first half without a problem. Didn't make it through the second half without a problem. Now he's had two more issues in the first half of this season. So now you're talking about a year and a half, three half seasons, and he hasn't made it through any of them. Like, to me, that's a significant pattern now. So what you need to see for McAvoy to start changing the narrative is forget about a whole season. How about just a half season without an injury? A half season where you play 37, 38 games.
Okay. One more segment of your calls, folks. You want to join us on the Bruins, you can. And those items we hit on before, whatever you want. 617-779-0985. Right to you after Murray's.
Felger and Mazza live at O'Rourke's Public House in South Bend. Presented by Coors Light. Official beer sponsor of the Winter Classic on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A little early movement from Taves. He stays in. Bergeron wins the draw. Back of the net. Carlo can't grab it. Right of the net. It is center grass. Pushed out. Made the stop. Right out in front. And Kane can't believe he didn't tally there.
Came up big at the end. Got some breaks. Pointed. It was Saad, right? Pointed. He cranked the post in the last
minute. Oh, my God.
Minute.
He hit a dead square. Then came right back out. Like, you know, that's how you know you hit a dead square. It doesn't go in either direction. It comes straight out.
Well, that was a good hockey game.
It was a good game, yeah. And again, I thought Rask was at his best in the second period. So the saves at the end of the game always stick out. But there were some big ones there in the second. Because Chicago really, I would say the first 15 minutes of that period in particular, they pretty much dominated.
And
Rask kept the puck out of the net.
Sal in North Attleboro has a thought for us. Go ahead, Sal.
Hey, so what I really like to see today was you had a lot of kids. I'm going to pull up JFK for Forrest Becker Carlson as an example, but you had a lot of kids who performed extremely well today. It was good to see that the kids really had a lot of poise, and they played the positions really well, given the big theme, kind of the big stage that they had to play on. So good on Bruce Cassidy for really getting his message across, you know, in the pregame and during the intermissions, and had his team ready to go and ready to play as well as they did. Because, I mean, there was a few lapses, but on the whole, I really liked how the team gelled and how the team played.
Well, let me just stop you. I like the way they play, too. I think they've had very few stinkers, very few no-shows. And now Cassidy, you know, the thing with Cassidy, the sugar high is long gone. He's no longer the new guy. And the change of voice from Claude, he's the guy. And they're still, you know, they're so... The Claude Julien Thursday night wet fart game. Remember how many times the Bruins just wouldn't show up?
Set a watch to it.
I mean, God, it was like it felt like it was way too much under Claude, and I feel like it's very rarely under this guy. So I'm down with that. And I think given all the injuries and the holes in their roster, for them to be in third place in their division, is they've done well. So I like the way they play. Their roster's short. Did you notice Jacob Forsbacka Carlson today or any of those young guys like that caller is saying?
No. No, again.
I mean, I didn't. It was, who are your goal scorers? Pastrnak, Bergeron, Marchand with an empty net, and then Crowley with the game winner. That's huge. I'm not going to take that. You know, that's a big development. But it's still, It's still all your
it's all the
names.
Usual suspects.
Yes, it's the usual suspects.
Yeah, and the first two were on the power play.
Exactly.
You know they have the fourth best power play in the league?
Is that right?
Fourth best in the league. Like, and I think it's borderline automatic.
Well, never in my lifetime has the Bruins power play been as good as this year, and it's kind of a thin roster. That's what the, you know, it's kind of an odd little irony there, because remember, even in the cup run, power play mostly sucked.
Historically bad power play.
Oh my God, it was dreadful.
Historically bad.
Absolutely dreadful. And this is why I said, in some ways, I found the game today frustrating, because I thought they got outplayed 5-on-5.
They did.
And they scored a couple of goals on the power play. I felt like I was watching the Canadiens under the guy with the big ears.
Jacques Martin.
Like, you remember those Canadiens teams?
Of course.
They do nothing the whole game to get a power play to beat you 2-1. And it was like, it was so frustrating. And to me, but I always felt like they weren't as, you know, that they were skilled and they would score, but this Bruins team, they got to get better 5-on-5. There's not enough depth there.
So the Bruins are tied for 9th in the league in points with, like, 4 other teams, and I think they've done well to get there. So, like, I'm overall pleased with how they've played. It's just they need help. I want to hit on something Murray's been reporting all day, and we just haven't touched on it. We've been mostly Bruins, but I do want to get to it. McDaniels will interview in Green Bay on Friday.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, that is being reported from Ian Rapoport, NFL Network.
Okay. Handicap that for me. What do you think? Is that my next guy?
Maybe.
Feels that way.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, to me, it's one of two places. It's either there or Cleveland.
And it sounds like Mike McCarthy might be the guy now at Cleveland. He's getting an interview. Oh, no, he's going.
Jets.
The Jets. Check that. Yeah, Jets.
Which I think is perfect.
So, you know, I asked you this. I asked you this in our Bedard segment. If you're a Jets fan and you land Mike McCarthy, should you feel good about that?
At this stage, it's not a bad hire.
So, I mean, put on skin. This is the Jets.
I don't think it's a great hire, but it's not a bad
hire. It's the Jets. Because, you know, let's say McCarthy's a C-plus or a B-minus. Like, he's that kind of coach. Wouldn't you take that if you're a Jets fan?
Yes.
Like, all the Fs that you've hired in your life and all the mistakes and all the, you know, colossal bundles. You know, wouldn't you take a bird in hand of a guy who may not be great, but you know is good?
Well, and
he's a small G good.
Yes, and an offensive guy, and you have a young quarterback. So if there's anything that's going to, like, the Jets aren't going to win the Super Bowl probably in the next 2 or 3 years at a minimum.
Probably not.
Okay? Like, it's going to take a little while. So the number one priority there should be the quarterback.
Yeah, but.
So why not bring in an offensive coach who,
He's offensive-minded, but he's still going to want to establish the run. And I'm a running back guy, obviously, but I think you want someone that's going to work with Sam Darnold and bring him along. I actually think Adam Gase would be a better fit there because he's a quarterback whisperer type.
Maybe.
Like, you want someone that's going to bring Sam Darnold along.
Well, but McCarthy brought Aaron Rodgers, and that's the one thing I'll give McCarthy the most credit for. He did. He developed Rodgers.
And that was what? Rodgers just tuning him out?
Yes. Yep. And the offense has gone stale, and absolutely all those things happen. But you want to talk about who developed Aaron Rodgers? It was Mike McCarthy.
Okay.
I mean, he totally brought him along.
It wouldn't be a bad move for the Jets.
I don't think it would be horrible.
No, that wouldn't be a bad outcome for them because to me, it's about the right guy at the right time, and I think that they need someone who's going to bring the offense and the quarterback along.
As a Packer fan, how should I feel about Josh McDaniels?
Well, you know how I feel about McDaniels.
How should I feel?
I think McDaniels is overrated.
Not great.
I should feel not great.
No.
No, I'll tell you why, though. It could be okay because he clearly can work with a good quarterback. So, now I think McDaniels himself is overrated. But he's going to have Aaron Rodgers, so he'll be able to do a lot of the same things he did with Brady.
Right.
Rodgers has the aptitude. There's no question about that. And so, like, can they work together? The point is, can you see that relationship working? And my answer is yes.
Yeah, that's the plus. I think he'll get Aaron Rodgers' respect. And, you know, look, he's already been able to work with one diva. He can work with another. So if he can work with Brady, he can work with Rodgers. But
he knows how to work with a big-name quarterback.
Okay.
Leader of men. You know, can he run a team again? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'd feel the same. I want Josh to be the next guy here.
Right.
Okay, so
here's the only fit, I think.
See, I don't.
I endorse Josh here because I really like the thought of the continuity. But on a different team, it's on a different, you know, ooh, now he's totally on his own. But again, maybe I should look at it like a Jets fan would look at McCarthy, and that is, they could really, you know, the Packers are interviewing the Northwestern coach, for crying out loud. They requested Brian Flores or Chuck Pagano. They interviewed Chuck Pagano.
Oh,
like, so if I'm weighing it between Josh McDaniels and Chuck Pagano or the Northwestern coach, give me Josh McDaniels, right? Because they could screw it up worse. So, I don't know. For Josh's sake, I hope he takes it. It's about time for you to poop or get off the pot. I'm sick to death of you and your indecisiveness and flirting with good teams and then pulling back. And, like, I'm sick to death of that.
You tired of waiting for Josh McDaniels?
Exactly.
Tyson's a theme today on the program.
Well,
tired of waiting for Tuca. Tired of waiting for McAvoy. Tired of waiting for the Celtics. Tired of waiting for Josh McDaniels.
But what does McDaniels, presumably, if he's serious this time, what does it tell you about what's going on at Gillette? Does it tell you anything?
Yeah, I think that it would indicate, in all probability, that Belichick is staying. Like
it has to, right?
Yes, I can't imagine that it was. It would mean anything but that.
Yeah, it was never him coming back and learning Bill's secrets.
Secrets.
Yeah, now he's finally going to learn them. Please, that was a crock, and it had nothing to do with the family or anything like that. He was told he was going to get the job here, and now Bill's going to be staying.
Open his world? Wasn't that the term?
Yeah, that's what it was. Open up his vault or whatever the hell it was.
What Belichick did was open up his pants and then fart in McDaniels' face.
That's what it is.
Yep, see you later. Have a nice time in Green Bay.
I just find that interesting. You know, what does that mean here? Tom Curran has surmised that Josh is leaving because he thinks the whole thing's blowing up. That it's, you know, this could, you know, Gronk's retiring. Why would Brady come back? If Brady's not going to be here, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that, you know, everyone is, all the rats are jumping off the ship.
You don't buy it?
No. Nope. I think Brady and Belichick are here for a while. I do.
So I don't know. I mean, it feels like it's getting, when I say worse, the football product, not the palace coup. Okay?
No, I think that's probably better.
So it doesn't feel like as bad as it did a year ago at this time. But the football product, I feel like it's going in the other direction. Now, I don't know what they'll be next year. We'll see, obviously. Hell, this year's not over yet. But they're not the same team already. I mean, a year after the coup, they're not the same team.
All right, folks. We have a back by popular demand. A request for something we played in the pregame. We got to play it again. It's very timely. It is a classic Squeaky Maz involving the Winter Classic that, frankly, Hardy puts these together from the midday. He does a great job with them. This is in Hardy's Hall of Fame. This is one of his, I think, one of his masterpieces.
Triggered by maybe the stupidest call we've ever received. not only on the Felger and Mass show, at the entirety of 98.5 The Sports Show.
Which is obviously saying something. So stick around for the final word and Squeaky Maz right after this.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go to Town Fair Tire.
Nobody,
the
Jim.
Best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
No one. All right. This is, I think, one of the all-time great Squeaky Mazes of all time. I just think it's that good. I think it's a Rob Hardy masterpiece. I think it's one of his masterworks. And it's very timely. We got this call 3 years ago today.
3 years.
Winter Classic after the Bruins absolutely stunk out the joint against the Canadiens at Gillette Stadium in the Winter Classic. This is what happened. Go ahead, Brian.
Ray is in Revere. Ray, what do you got?
What about the wind factor? Wasn't it true the Bruins were trying to skate against the wind, and they looked like they were skating with cement in their skate?
Yeah, so Ray, what was the excuse in the second period, then?
The second period, you tired it out after the first period. I mean, have you ever tried skating or riding a bicycle against the wind?
Why should that matter? It's not like the difference between...
Because one team is skating with the wind and the other team is trying to skate against the wind.
Against the wind. They got tired from skating into the wind? They were skating against the wind. That's what you're coming with? They lost the game because they were skating against the wind. That's your excuse? Ray, when Tuukka Rask calls the loss embarrassing, and when Claude Julien describes it the way he doesn't, well, then they're idiots too, then, right?
That's right.
Okay, well, that's right. I forgot that you have all the answers on everything. That's right. I forgot.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Ray, I got news for you, pal. Stop making excuses. They got their asses kicked. They got their asses kicked. They didn't show up. They didn't show up. They got their asses kicked and they were undermanned. I'm not bringing up the wind. Stop, will ya? Please. You want to bring up the wind, you can bring it up. But please. into the wind? What they look like in the first period was a minor league outfit.
What?
I'd forgotten until hearing this thing. We've heard it so many times. But the caller actually, he starts it by saying, "Isn't it true?" Like, yeah, like you're on this, everyone's on the stand. Like, no, it's not true at all. It's, I mean, that had nothing to do with it. They just played like garbage.
So again, thanks to Hardy for that. So, you know, that was another thing today. We had none of that.
How do you explain the second period? They were tired,
from skating into the wind in the first period.
Oh, even though they rested 12 minutes in between. Whatever.
Dead legs from the wind.
The wind. You had none of that today. None of that. You know, it's a lot of these Winter Classic games, you have to split the third period because one end is windy, or
right,
there's like
glare,
puddles or glare or something like that. There was none of that today.
No, no. A lot of ways, it's the perfect way to, perfect place to do it. Overcast. Like, Seattle would be a good spot, too. Nice and cold, overcast.
It's coming.
Yeah, there you go.
It's coming. But I just think, this is one of the better Winter Classic games I ever saw.
Agreed.
It was as close to a real game as I've seen in this in that setting. Because, again, those outdoor games get
sloppy.
Yep, and slow. But this one was a real game.
Well, it felt like a real hockey game. It was good.
Do you know perfect the Blackhawks are 1-5 outdoors?
Is that true?
Yeah.
1-5. They're now 1-5 outdoors. And so, like, I found that interesting, too. Like, I don't know. You know, you look at guys like Kane in particular, right? Fast, skilled, the game slows down even a little. Is that an equalizer? And does it make him less of a factor? Because I didn't feel like he was a big factor in the game today until the end.
Not really. You're right. He wasn't.
So I don't know. You know, and again, I'm just throwing crap against the wall, but they're 1-5 in the 6 outdoor games that they played. And I thought that second period, they dominated, man. And Tuukka really bailed the Bruins out.
Okay, so we'll have more on that this week, and we'll get back to everything else this week as well. Felger and Maz will be back starting tomorrow. Flying back tonight, I look forward to the middle seat on Southwest. I think that's a wonderful...
It was a new experience for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm not exactly used to that. So
I might have to dig deep into my pockets and get myself a little bit of an upgrade.
It may have to.
Have to dig deep into Murray's pocket. Right.
And then we're back at it tomorrow. We'll have Paul Perillo on at 4 o'clock. We'll bring in the big boy, Greg Bedard, on Thursday.
Going to give Bedard an extra couple of days to prepare.
Yeah, so we'll get Bedard, but we'll do Bedard on Thursday. Crap ton to get to on the Patriots that we missed over the last couple weeks, Max.
Absolutely.
Both the team and the league. And the coaching stuff, there's 8 coaching vacancies.
So remember, the last time we did a show, the Patriots hadn't even played Pittsburgh yet.
This is correct.
Right? So that's 3 games worth of stuff now.
A lot to unpack.
Right? You missed the paranoia of the 3-seed and wild card weekend.
Oh, all man. Of it. Yeah, but we're going to recreate it, Murray. Yeah. We're going to recreate that paranoia.
Oh, don't you worry. Don't you worry, Murray. It will not be missed on the Felger and Maz show. So we'll get back to that again starting tomorrow. But again, it's another bye week, so you sit there and you get to watch the NFL playoffs, which you keep saying is you think the best thing going in sports.
Oh, my gosh. To me, there's like, you know, there's nothing I look forward to more than the start of the NFL postseason. I think divisional weekend, I've said this to you a million times, divisional weekend to me is like the best football weekend of the year. You almost guaranteed a 4 good games. Obviously, you play wild card weekend before, but I love the matchups in the wild card round.
Well, especially in the NFC
Seattle
Dallas game,
the
Eagles
Bears
and Bears.
The Eagles, those are good games.
Okay, so we'll get back to all that stuff tomorrow on Felger and Maz starting at 2. That's going to wrap it here from O'Wart in South Bend. Want to thank Program Director Mike Thomas, Howie Sylvester for putting this on and sending us out here. B-Rob back behind the glass, and Jimmy Stewart did the pre-game show today. So there we go. Check another one off your list.
And our engineer, Bob.
Yes, engineer Bob from South Bend, Indiana. Thank you, Bob. Enjoy the rest of the night, everybody. Felger and Maz back at it tomorrow at 2 p.m. See you then, Maz.
See you then.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.